It's good to ponder the name of Jesus once in a while, isn't it? The Bible says in Acts 4:12, there's no other name given among men whereby men must be saved, but the precious and mighty and powerful and transforming name of Jesus. And so, friends, if you've never gotten completely acquainted with Jesus, I encourage you to do that today. It's in His name that we're saved. In His name and the power of the Holy Spirit that we're transformed. And so, let's pray together before we go any further. Father, thank You again for this opportunity that we have to come together to worship You. This is why we're here. We've come to worship You. We've come to praise You and to say thank You and to love You and to hear from You. When we sing these songs, it's just like the scenes in Revelation where the 24 elders are bowing before the throne and the four living creatures are circling around the throne crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And the 10,000 times 10,000 and angels are around the throne crying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and praise." And so we just join in that chorus today, Heavenly Father, and praise You and worship You and bow before You, our Heavenly Father, Jesus, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Lamb of God. We bow before You today to worship You. Thank You for everyone here. Thank You for other churches that are gathering, even now, all over our communities and around the nation and around the globe. May Your Spirit guide and direct each and every one of us. May Your Spirit have free reign in our churches, in us, pastors, priests, leaders. May Thy will be done, O God, in Your church and even in those lives that couldn't make it to church today. May Thy will be done. May Your Spirit speak to hearts that are locked up in jail or lying in hospital beds or in care centers or just are at home. May Your Spirit do a work, Heavenly Father, today of drawing people to Yourself, redeeming them, and filling them with Your Spirit and transforming them. May Your Spirit do a work of transformation in us here today. Oh, we praise You, Father. We do pray for those names on the prayer focus. There are many. We do pray that You'd encourage them and strengthen them and heal. We do pray for healing in the name of Jesus. Your Word says, Heavenly Father, and by His stripes we are healed. And we pray for healing today in broken bodies, in broken marriages, in broken lives, in broken hearts. We pray for healing in the spiritual wayward, that they would be spiritually well in Jesus' name today. And so, Father, thank You that we get to come and worship You today. Guide us. Direct us. Speak to us. Encourage and pick us up. Forgive us. Help us to be a people of God that are passionately in love with You and trusting You and walking with You and serving You. Help us to be a people that have been redeemed and transformed by the power of the living God. Looking forward to and longing to that day when we will see Jesus face to face in glory. Because of the work on the cross, and because we have put our faith and trust completely in Him and Him alone. Thank You, Lord, for everyone here. Thank You for those that couldn't be here. We pray for them too. Glorify Your name in us, O God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to start in Romans 8:28 today. And it will be on the big screen, but I encourage you to follow along in your Bible. Romans 8:28 is a very popular verse. It's not hard to find. Perhaps most of you have memorized it even at some point in your life. Matter of fact, let me ask you, have you memorized Romans 8:28 sometime in your life, anybody? Some of you have. It's a great verse. It's a great verse that gets thrown around quite a bit. And I was thinking, and I told the earlier service this morning, that I've preached on a lot of verses, and some of them more than once, and there's lots of them I haven't preached on, and I think this is one of those that I haven't ever preached on. And I think one of the reasons that I haven't ever preached on this is because oftentimes this verse gets thrown around kind of loosely, kind of arbitrarily. Oftentimes when tragedy strikes, someone will begin to quote this verse and say, yeah, but we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And so sometimes, just to be quite honest with you, sometimes I've wrestled with this verse, and as a matter of fact, if I'm completely honest with you, I can tell you that I haven't, from time to time, I haven't even liked the verse. Have you been that way with any verses before? You really don't even want to hear it. Sometimes I've felt that way about this verse. And so perhaps that's why I've never spoke on it before, but the Lord impress it upon my heart again today. I guess maybe if not for you, for me. Maybe it's just for me. I know that this verse has been used for people that have been through tragedy and difficulty and hardship, and sometimes it just throws that person or that family into a worse depressed feeling than they were before they heard the verse. Romans 8:28 in the New King James Version says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." And this week, while I was contemplating and praying about and trying to understand this verse further, I looked it up in several other translations. I like a couple of others. There's lots of translations, and some of them speak to it somewhat differently. Romans 8:28 in the New Living Translation says it this way, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them." That helps me a little bit. That sheds some light on the heart of God and this verse a little bit. "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose." You see, He's working. He's pulling some strings behind the scenes that we're not even aware of. He sees a lot bigger picture than we do, by the way. And He don't need Jim's approval to do what He does, by the way, either. I like what the Phillips translation says in this verse also when it says this, "Moreover, we know that to those who love God, who are called according to His plan, everything that happens fits into a pattern for good." That helps me a little bit. I don't see everything that God sees, and neither do you. The Bible reminds us God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And for years, perhaps it's because I've heard this verse thrown out in situations, not necessarily to me, but to people, in ways that were meant to encourage, but all it did was discourage. And perhaps one of the reasons that I have not selected this verse to preach on before is like I said before, because I'm not sure I even liked it myself. There are verses, I'm sure, that you're not all that comfortable with in the Scriptures too. And this is one I have wrestled with. This verse has been that way for me, hard to get my hands around. Not because I don't believe the will of God. I do believe in the will of God. Not because I don't believe in the love of God, in the goodness of God, in the grace of God, in the mercy. I do believe in all that. I pray, as a matter of fact, for the will of God every day. But maybe I've wrestled with this verse over the years because of the hard things that happen in life. The really hard things. Boom, catch you upside the head, blindside you. There are a lot of things that we don't understand. There's all manner of tragedy everywhere around us and around the globe. And there's hurt and there's heaviness around us. And this verse reminds us that all things work together for good. And sometimes that's hard for me to buy. Maybe I'm the only one here that feels that way. I see tragedy on a weekly and sometimes on a daily basis. Tragedy around us. Right here. You lose your spouse. You've just been told you got cancer. Your youngest granddaughter has been told she's got leukemia. A pastor in Pine River loses his 3-year-old daughter. Our family member is an addict. I told you last week, I just did a funeral of a man that took a little too much, one too many times. Tragedy. 36, and he's gone. Our loved ones go to jail. Our loved ones get killed by a drunk driver. When my second child, who happens to be 30-some now, was a little girl and she'd already been through 2 heart surgeries, we went back to the doctor for another checkup. Open heart surgeries, I might add. We went back to the doctor to see if she was well, and they told us she needed another one. And I asked God, where's the good in that? I do a funeral for a 36-year-old man that took meth one too many times and listened to his mother crying, and we wonder, where's the good in that? Do you hear me this morning, friends? Do you hear what I'm saying? You been there? Maybe I'm one of the only ones that wonders, when hard things happen, where's the good? And so I've wrestled with this verse, this Romans 8:28. I've struggled with it and haven't even really liked it. But when I get to wrestling with God in this verse and yet another tragedy, I'm drawn to places like Psalm 69. If you've got your Bible, that's where I'm going next. Psalm 69, New King James Version. And David cries out. Some of your translations simply say, help me, Lord. Mine says, save me. And so the New King James Version says in Psalm 69, save me, O God. Why? Here's why. He elaborates a little bit for us. For the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there's no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. You see what he's saying, friends? He's not in a lake. He's not in a river. He's not in the swamp. He's in everyday life, and it feels like the waters of life are about to encompass him and drown him. It feels like his feet are stuck in the mire in the bottom of the water, and it's about to overcome him. And he basically is crying out to God saying, I can't do this anymore. Save me, O God. And I'm reminded to Jim, when I ask the question, where's the good in that? I'm reminded that God has taken many a person through the waters of life before, and is right now, and will in the future. I'm reminded, when I'm feeling sorry for myself, the words of David here in 13, when he's feeling this overwhelming presence, this overwhelming heaviness that says, I am weary with my crying, my throat is dry, my eyes fail me, and I am still waiting. I recognize when I start to feel sorry for myself that David began to get to that point of trusting when he said in verse 13, he says, but as for me, my prayer is to you. And even though the waters have seemingly come up to strangle us and take our very life, he cries out to God and said, I am still going to call out to you. My prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of this muck and mire of life. And David says, and let me not sink in verse 14. Let me be delivered from those who hate me. And out of the deep waters, let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut its mouth on me. You see what he's feeling, friends? Like he's just about done. Like he was crying out, I can't do this any longer. And I believe if someone would have presented to David the verse from Romans 8 and 28 and said, yeah, but David, and we know that all things work together for good for to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, he would have said, I'm not sure I see the good here either. But then we get to David's heart in verse 30 of the same chapter. And we see in his trusting in the one that can rescue us from the waters of life and the storms and the difficulties and the heaviness of life, we see one more time that David said, I will praise the name of God with a song. He comes back to that point of crying out in heaviness and anguish of heart and coming full circle to a point and saying, but I will praise the name of God with a song and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. I wonder sometimes, maybe my difficulty is I haven't been very good at magnifying God with thanksgiving through the valley of the shadow of death. But that's what David did. When I think of this, Romans 8:28, and I read the Phillips translation that said, everything that happens fits into a pattern for good, I'm reminded that I can trust him for the one that knows what good really is. You see, friends, we can say all day long, I love the Lord, I know the Lord, I trust the Lord, he's first in my life. But do we trust him to the point that he knows better than I do in these tough circumstances? Do we trust him to believe that he actually has our best interest in mind? The Bible says we are called according to his purpose, and having been called, he wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son. The very next verse in Romans 8:29 says that we are to be conformed to the image of his Son. You see, that's God's desire, in that we, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, are conformed to the image of his Son. And let me just ask you, if you're a weightlifter or a long distance runner or anything athletic, are you ever going to get better without challenging yourself to go on and get better? If I'm a long distance runner and if I'm a marathon runner and I never go out and practice, I'm probably not going to do too well in the marathon. It's the same way with our faith. If our faith is never challenged and stretched a little bit, it's never going to grow to a new dependence upon the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And sometimes hard things happen to very good people. Didn't start today and isn't going to end tomorrow. But sometimes God allows those things because, as the Philip said, everything that happens fits into a pattern for our good, for His plan, for His glory, and our growth and dependence upon Him. Do I have all the answers? No, never will have. Do I have all the answers to tragedy? No, don't understand them myself. But I trust Him, and I trust that He's working in and through circumstances. He sees a lot bigger picture than I do. At the first service, there was a couple here that lives in Iowa, and yet she's related to the pastor that just lost his three-year-old in Pine River. And they trust Him. They got a few questions, but they trust Him. And no sooner did this young pastor and his wife in Pine River lose their little three-year-old, within days after that, she gave birth to yet another daughter. And God is working, as it says, these things happen, they fit into a pattern for some good. And we don't always understand the good. We're not even sure we want to understand why this is going on. But God sees a bigger picture, and He's working and fashioning and molding and fitting this into a pattern for our good. And that's where I got to leave it. Trusting Him. Trusting that He knows better. Trusting that He's got our best in His mind. And so I just want to close with this, friends. I choose to trust Him and surrender to Him. And I choose to allow Him to transform me and us into the image and reflection of Jesus. Sometimes that's through very deep waters. And so I want to encourage you also to trust Him and hang on to Him and surrender to Him, even in the valley of the shadow of death, even in the times when it doesn't seem to make any sense and you cry out like I've cried out, where's the good in that? I challenge us to trust Him. Surrender to Him and call upon Him and allow Him to be God and allow Him to do the things that He knows best. He loves you and He has our best interest in mind, even though it seems very, very hard today. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You do love us. You do see a much bigger picture than we see. You do have our best in mind, and even though there are times in every one of our lives, have been, are, or will be, that it seems like the waters of life are about to drown us, our feet are stuck in the mud, and we can't do it anymore, we can say like David, I'll cry out to You with a new song, and I'll give You thanks for things in my life that I see as good, and I know You're doing, and so help us to be like David, Heavenly Father, crying out to You, knowing that You are working good to those that love You. Help us to have a new trust, a new level of surrender, a new level of dependence upon You, even though it is heavy from time to time. Thank You, Father, for our Christian Motorcycle Association brothers and sisters. Thank You for their ministry. Guide them as they go into the darker places on earth. Keep them safe as they ride their motorcycles. And bless them now as they share a few minutes with us, we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.